We're in a season of great outpouring of the Spirit. The day spring from on high is visiting us through the tender mercies of our God. Draw near with an open heart to receive the blessings of our God through His servant, Pastor Dimeji Elugbadebo. Be revived.
Let's see. The book of Galatians, chapter 2. We're still teaching concerning Christ. I believe that there is so much. We may need to increase the volume because of the noise, so that people can hear and not be distracted by what is happening on the outside. So let's see, Galatians chapter 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Can we all say amen? Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. So, not by the works of the law, but by the works of, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So like I said, justification by faith begins with the raising up of our spirits and the quickening of our dead spirits at new birth. However, the soul also must be justified by obeying the law of Christ. Can we all say amen? Amen. Or the law of faith. Unto love of Christ, the soul must be justified. So how the soul is justified is that the old man will be crucified in the soul. What did I say? Crucified in the soul. Can we say that again? I can't hear everybody. So the justification, the soul becoming a just soul, is by the crucifying of the old man. So it means that the purpose of crucifying the old man is for you to come into the liberty of Christ. All right? The purpose of crucifying the old man is for you to come into the liberty of Christ, or to experience in your soul the liberty of Christ. Now, a child of God is born again, and when you are born again, thank God that you are quickened in your spirit. However, to experience liberty from the flesh, the old man in the soul must be crucified. Can we all say amen? Amen? So justification, obeying the faith of Christ to become justified in the soul, is how you conquer and break the influence of the old man. So it means the obedience to the faith of Christ is actually the wisdom in Christ. Obedience to the faith of Christ is wisdom. The wisdom of Christ is measured from the faith of Christ to the love of Christ. Please write these things down. The wisdom of Christ is measured by obedience to the righteousness of Christ from faith to love. So a soul that has obeyed faith unto love is said to be wise in Christ, and such a soul has been crucified That soul has been crucified. Amen. I can't hear you say amen. They that are Christ's, like we look at this last 2 weeks, I've crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. So this is not a state at the new birth. Can we say amen? This is not a state at the new birth. You will have walked in the Spirit. Now, to walk in the Spirit is to obey the law of faith unto love. To walk in the Spirit is to obey the law of faith unto love. The law of faith in Christ unto the law of love in Christ. So when you say a soul has become Christ's or has been possessed by Christ, that soul has obeyed revelation of righteousness from faith unto love. Paul called it in Romans chapter 1, from faith to faith. When he said from faith to faith, he's talking about the climaxing of faith. All right? The righteousness of God is being revealed. So, it is obedience to righteousness that crucifies the old man. Nothing can take care of the old man in the soul outside of the righteousness of God in Christ. It is obedience to the revelation of righteousness that crucifies the old man in the soul. It is obedience to the revelation of righteousness that justifies the soul. It is obedience to revelation of righteousness that makes a soul come into the liberty of Christ. So until a soul has his flesh crucified, that soul does not know what it means to be free from the bondage of the flesh. So you can be a child of God, but you are still under the elements of this world. Meaning the old man is still ruling your mind, your will, and your emotions. So the purpose of the faith of Christ is to conquer the old man in the soul, in the mind, in the will, in the emotions. So that your mind, will, and emotions become what? Conquered or controlled by the law of Christ. Can we all say amen? Let me say that. So that your mind, will, and emotions becomes controlled by the law of Christ. Paul called it in Romans chapter 8, the law of the Spirit of life. Now I want you to look at it again. The law of the Spirit of life is the law of the Spirit of life. So it's a spiritual law that connects you to life. What did I say? So, law before life. What did I say? So, that law means that you must obey the template of the Spirit. You must obey the law of Christ to come into the life of Christ. This is something that must be taught over and over to the modern church. So, your spirit has life by believing. Your soul has life by obeying. Your spirit has life by believing. Your soul has life by what? Obeying or walking. So the soul must walk in the law of life to possess life as an inheritance. The soul must walk in the law of life to possess life as an inheritance. So when you say law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the purpose of the law is to set you free from the law of sin and death. Amen. Can we say amen? So it means what runs the old life, or what you call the old man, or what we all know as the flesh, is a law. That is why it's difficult to, you don't cast out the flesh. Because it's a law that sustains it. What did I say? Now anything that the law sustains, it takes another law to displace it. So For instance, the law of gravity is a law on the earth. And the law of gravity does not care what you say. It does not even care what you believe. It is always be at work upon anything on the earth. As long as you're on the earth, you are in subjection to that law. Except you enact a counter law. So the reality of that law is that anything that goes up must come down. And you know that the law of gravity has a place where it does not work. I think G is 9.82, or is it 8.4? 9.81. Approximately, is it not 2? Is it approximately 2 or is 9.81? I've forgotten. Approximately 10. All right. So, when you get to space, that law does not work. So, when you get to space, you see people floating. People that go, NASA people. When they go to space and they want to eat, their food is flying like this. All right? They have spoon. And they leave the spoon. The spoon does not go down. It goes up or it's floating. So it means there is the law of gravity does not work in that space. So, but now this is it. As long as you are in the flesh, there is a law that works for anybody in the flesh. As long as you are in the flesh. The law of sin and death is the law that runs the old life. So as long as you are in the borders of the old life, or you are living in the borders of the old world, so even though your spirit has been quickened from the dead, the day you got born again, let's say they transferred your spirit became Christ, but your soul has not been transferred, because your soul gets transferred by what? Obedience to laws of righteousness. Your soul gets transferred from the dominion of death or darkness by obedience to laws of righteousness. So, what can make you experience liberty in your soul is another law. Can we all say amen? I can't hear you say amen. Now, let's go to chapter 7 of Romans. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 7. We need to see these things very clearly, because this is where many believers struggle. Hallelujah. All right, let's see from let's start from verse 7. Romans chapter 7 from verse 7. What shall we say then? Is the law sin? Talking about the law of Moses. God forbid. Nay, I had not known sin but by the law. For I had not known lust except the law had said, thou shalt not covet. But sin, taking occasion by the commandment, wrought in me all manner of concupiscence. For without the law, sin is dead. Now what he's saying is that I have the law of sin inside me by inheritance. The law just activated the consciousness of that sin in my mind. So sin had been in us by inheritance. What did I say? But the law made us recognize what sin was. That's what he was saying. All right? Not that because the law was sin, but because sin in us was what controlled us. So this is it. If I'm reading something outside, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I have the law that commits adultery inside of me. What is that? I became awoken. I became conscious of it. Meanwhile, I am not delivered from it, because it took Christ to die and resurrect to pay the ultimate price for sin. That is what Romans 8 said. Jesus had to come in the likeness of the sinful flesh and condemn sin in the flesh. So men were under bondage, even though they knew what is right, but they could not do it because of the law of sin that was in them. Are you following me? Can we all say amen? Hallelujah. So for verse 12, wherefore the law is holy and the commandment holy and just and good. Was then that which is good made death unto me? God forbid. But sin, that it might appear sin, walking death in me by what which is good. That sin by commandment might become exceedingly what? Sinful. So sin overrided the law. What did I say? Say that once again. Why? Sin is stronger than the law. I will show you as we go on. For we know that the law is spiritual. Can we say amen? The law is spiritual. No, Paul is a spiritual architect. Sin is actually more than spiritual. Sin in itself, raw sin, is more than spiritual. All right? But the law is spiritual. So the law could not really address sin. Sin was wrought from a higher dimension. The law is spiritual. The law, sin is opposite divine life. Raw sin. All right? It takes divine life to conquer sin. But the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. The law was supposed to raise times of Christ. Can we say amen? Amen. I can't hear you say amen. Amen. So what Satan put in man was higher than what man could understand or comprehend or even fight by himself. We know sin is the perverted law of a cherub. And cherubims are not beings of the sanctuary. All right? So, if sin is using the law, it means sin is wiser than the law. That's where I'm going. It's more intelligent. It could use it. It could manipulate it for its own advantage. So, you now see why God had to send the Son. So nothing can solve the problem of sin except the coming of God in the flesh. I don't know if you are following me. Can we all say amen? Amen. Glory to God. For that which I do, verse 15, for that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that I do I not. Sometimes King James can be very funny. God will help us. Amen. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. That do I not. But what I hate, that do I. So I hate something does not mean I cannot do it. Now, this condition does not stop because you got born again. So when we got born again, there were things that we did not like, but we do it. At times you will lie. Your conscience will smite you. You will repent, but you did not like it. It depends on the kind of old of sin nature that you are under. But hating something at times does not mean you are free from it. So what makes you free from it is that you must obey another law that uproots that law from you. All right? I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying. So Christ died for our sins, but Christ himself is also the wisdom against all the laws of sin. All the laws of sin. Jesus has the wisdom for you to override them and come into liberty. So you must experience liberty and perfect liberty. Two things. What did I say? So you must first experience liberty, then liberty is perfected. All right? So with these two states that I described, you need the revelation of what Jesus embodied. Jesus embodied laws that must become your inheritance. Hallelujah. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Verse 16. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now, verse 17. Then it is no more I that do it, but the sin that dwelleth in me. Sin that dwelleth in me. Sin that has become my nature or my life. So meaning, what is responsible for my actions, all right, is the law that is inside me. Like somebody jumps up, but he comes down still. He wants to go up, but he's coming down. Are you with me? Because what is bringing him down is stronger than what he's wishing. Even though he wishes to stay up, but why is he coming down? Because there's a law at work. So sin that dwelleth in me is one responsible for some of my actions. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. That's why it says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh. So this design is to make you stay in condemnation forevermore. It's a design that always makes you stay in condemnation. You will want to do something, you cannot do it. You want to walk in love, you cannot walk in love. You want to forgive, you are struggling. The reason is because sin dwelleth in you. As nature. There is a nature of sin that has not been conquered yet. And because of that, it controls you. Can we say amen? Now, one of the reasons why we have to enact the law of forbearance and forgiveness is it takes time for people to change. So you have to learn to forbear, and then you forgive. What is that forgiveness? You forgive that person on their infirmities till God brings them into a state in their walk where they have been able to overcome a particular infirmity. Those are laws of love. Can we say amen? I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, that's in my whole man, dwelleth no good. Nor dwelleth no good thing. For you to even come here, you need light. For you to be able to come into this deduction in the spirit. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For to will is present in me. Look at it. For to will is present with me. You see, a lot of people thought that Romans 7 was when Paul was a sinner, an unbeliever. No, Romans 7 was when Paul was a child. When you are still under the control of the flesh. What Paul is teaching us is that a time can come when you'll be totally free from the flesh. Can we say amen? So Romans 7 is the state of being controlled by the carnal nature that has not been taken over fully by submitting to the law of Christ. You should all be interested in this. Because you're supposed to live in the Spirit. That is the plan. That you are in the Spirit constantly. Mind, will, emotions, reactions are all spiritual. Now, what will make that possible is that they have totally freed you from the hold of the old man. Now, the old man is a law. It's called the law of sin and death. What did I say it is? Say it again, oh. Say it one more time. So, you cannot be free from it until you walk in the Spirit. So when you say somebody is walking in the Spirit, it's not spiritism. It's not doing spiritual activity. It's not He's not doing evangelism. He's not doing anything. He's obeying the revelation of righteousness in Christ. So if that righteousness is not revealed to you, you can't walk in the Spirit. You will not be able to walk in the Spirit. Because what makes you walk in the Spirit is that you must first see. You hear to see, then you walk. What did I say? Faith cometh by hearing by. So when faith is born, the legs begin to walk. And for faith to be born, it means the faculty of sight has been restored. You cannot walk when you don't see. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. So they are saying that faith is the sight of the new man. Write that down. Faith. And when I say faith there, I'm not saying faith like we know faith in milk terms. Faith there is obedience to righteousness. Faith is the revelation of righteousness. So faith is how you see. Revelation of righteousness, believing and walking in it, opens your understanding, opens your sight, empowers your leg to walk in the Spirit. So walking in the Spirit is not a spooky thing. It is obedience to laws. It is obedience to laws. Can we all say amen? I'm saying this because I want us to understand. We must know this thing so that we are walking daily. A lot of Christians at times, we have a lot of, sorry to say, Christian routines that we do. And they don't exactly really guarantee change. You wake up in the morning, you just do your devotion. Now, devotion is good. But you see, let me talk a little bit about that because at times we enter into devotion with a kind of formula. That concept called devotion is just a time to be with the Lord, to commune with the Lord, to wait on the Lord. Now, what religious spirit does is that at times, in most cases, hijacks even that time. So what? Somebody just enters with a mindset of baba, baba, baba. You know, there's just one formula to that devotion. At times you can be praying in tongues and your mind is not engaging in anything. At times you are reading Bible, your mind is not in the Bible. So you can use 1 hour and there has not been communion. I don't know if you are following me. Now if you do that for 6 months, you are not going to change. Nothing is going to happen. The fact that you're engaging spiritual activity is the same thing by coming to church. You can come to church for a whole year, and because you are absent-minded when the word is taught, it's possible that the word is taught and you are not the mind is not engaging what is being taught. All right? Now, because at times a lot of we just wonder why are people not changing? What changes you? Is obedience to the laws of the Spirit. You must obey righteousness. If you don't obey righteousness, you will not change. It's not hearing alone that changes. It's hearing and doing. So if you are not doing what you are hearing, there's no change. If you are not doing what you are hearing... So the purpose of hearing is desire to do. You want to do the commandments of righteousness or what I call the instructions of life by the Spirit. You cannot even get instructions when the mind is absent-minded. And that's why when you are coming for a meeting, you have to come prayed up. At times I see some of you are just walking around while prayer is going. I doubt if you can get anything. Except you are prayed up before you came to that meeting. The purpose of prayer is to charge the Spirit to be very sensitive to the revelation of the Spirit. So that when the word is coming, your spirit can be alert to receive it. But when you are in church, you are just moving up and down. You are moving, you are moving, you are moving. Sir, you don't know how spiritual things work. If you do that every Tuesday for 1 year, nothing will happen to you, at least on Tuesday. I can guarantee that. You will find out that there's nothing happening. Prayer brings us into a place where we can plug into the Spirit. It's easy. When you are well prayed up, even if it's just you prayed in tongues, you prayed in tongues with your mind, not your mind wandering. You are able to hold your mind. What happens is that life flows from your spirit to your mind. What did I say will happen? So your mind is now energized with the ability to be able to pick instructions of the Spirit. At times when you see somebody that does not, or is always sleeping when the word is taught, is always tired when the word is taught, is always disengaged when the word is taught, it can be any of these things, then there's something wrong with your spirit. Your spirit is weak. Amen. That spirit is weak. But these things are very important. So all those times of prayer and engaging spiritual activity is most times is where Satan is interested most. Because if Satan can hijack that period, there's nothing that is happening. No transaction is happening. Like for instance, in the morning, this is what I think you should do first in the morning. When you wake up in the morning, before you start praying, you wait on the Spirit. You wait on the Spirit. All right? You wait. What I mean wait on the Spirit? Your heart is just waiting on the Lord. So when you are even entering into prayer, you are entering into prayer with that attitude of waiting upon the Lord. A lot of people enter into times of communion just to rush out. You cannot get anything that way. You must culture an attitude of waiting on the Lord. And then allowing the Lord to speak to you. All right? Dropping an instruction, granting you a direction. The Lord may draw your heart back to a message thought, a scripture opening up, nudge your heart concerning what to pray on. All those things are what garnishes the heart to receive life. Can we all say amen? Amen. I don't know if you are getting what I'm saying. That's one of the things that we have not done too well. I've not been able to teach the protocols of spiritual life. So there are a lot of spiritual routinal activities that can get the soul busy. And they are not actual. Now, it's not like you need to do spiritual activity, but that same spiritual activity is what religious spirit hijacks. All right? So that's why prayer, you know, must be done with understanding. Anything, any spiritual activity that will generate life must be done with understanding. What did I say?
Any spiritual activity
that will generate life must be done with understanding. Understanding must be the spiritual power behind what you are doing. If not, it's not going to generate life. So I want to admonish us, because at times, you know, maybe a few times I pray in the car because of it. I just want to focus and pray and prepare for this meeting. I just sense at times, let me just withdraw. I just see people move. Woo, 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 woo. And I'm wondering that, I'm thinking that, is what are you doing? You know, sometimes I wonder. And honestly, there is a spiritual force around teaching environment. I mean negative spiritual force. If there's anywhere evil spirits focus their attention most, it's inside church. Think about it. Satan, the whole world is already under satanic power. So, but when they want to, evil spirits normally deploy themselves in an environment where truth is taught. And they are masters of distraction. I just feel I need to say this because some of us are unaware. And we're already getting used to things like that. What will happen is that your change will not... You understand? You just found out that you are not experiencing change. Because the mind has been disengaged from spiritual understanding. The mind has been disengaged. The there is no transformation that can be done when there's a disengagement of the mind. When there's a disengagement of the mind, there's no spiritual transaction that can be done. When a transaction is even going, eventually, in your spirit, eventually it has to come into your mind. Meaning, it must come into the place of understanding for you to bear fruits. So they need your understanding for you to be able to lay hold on life. Can we all say amen?
Amen?
So that's why, you know, when you are coming for a meeting, your heart must be engaged. The time you are coming from home, even if you are coming directly from the office, just begin to just pray in your spirit and then begin to tune your spirit. Just tune your spirit. A lot of people just rush from work here and they are not settled. And they are doing, by the time you are settled, you are finished praying. Then you now want to enter the world. You can't enter. You will find it difficult. You just be doing, you know, you find it's not easy to slide into it because the heart has not been well prepared or prepped. Can we all say amen? I think we should know things. Spiritual things, these are a culture of the spirit. Spiritual culture. All right, let me go back to my teaching. Let me not allow this to take me into something else. So I know that in me, in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good, I find not. All right? For the good that I would, I do not. For the evil that I would, that I do. Now, if I do that, I would not. It is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God. After what? So this is a man that is already born again. That's the only way he can delight. So how he can delight in the law of God after the inward man is that his spirit is regenerated. So the spirit is already Christ. His spirit does not struggle with God. You know, your spirit does not struggle with God. That spirit that is that when you got born again is a Christ spirit. So the spirit wants God. So but every other struggle is in the soul that is not regenerated or that is uncrucified. So that is what Paul is saying. He says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Can we say amen?
Amen.
But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into what? Captivity to the law of sin, which is where?
In my members,
the members of my soul, into my body. All right? O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of these deaths? So the old man is a body of death. What did I say? Or the flesh is a body of death. So there's always conflict, like Paul said in Galatians 5. There's always a war between the flesh and the spirit. Give me amplified version for Galatians 5:17. For the sinful nature has its desire, which is opposed to the spirit. Look at that. And the desire of the spirit opposes the sinful nature. For these two, the sinful nature and the spirit, he's talking about the old man and the new man. Now, the thing about it is that even in the soul, you have a measure of life. All right? But that life is still small. So just like Ishmael mocked Isaac. When Ishmael was mocking Isaac, Ishmael was 13. Isaac was still trying to crawl. So Ishmael mocked. So the old man can mock the new man in you. That your new man is like trying to struggle. Meaning you are in the spirit once in a while. But you are in the flesh all the time. Because the old man is stronger. is stronger than the new man. So once in a while you're in the spirit, you know, ta-ta-ta, small here, small there, spiritual life. But much of what your Christian life is being characterized is the old life. Meaning you are not yet free from the carnal nature. So those two, it says they are in conflict. So that you as believers do not always do whatever good things you want to do. So this same thing is what Paul was describing in Romans 7. So until you obey Christ into liberty, this conflict will continue. It's going to be a war. And most times the old man wins. So today, a day you may even desire to walk in the spirit. You want to walk in love that day. Then they now arrange the day such a way that you have many people step on your legs. Those things are designed. You just pray. Maybe sometimes you pray in your devotion, you even cry. You say, God, today I want to walk. I want to walk in the spirit. I want to forbear people. I want to do well. And when you came out, you were charged. But because the law, the strength of the new man is weak. It's not yet stronger than the old man. What an evil spirit could do is to manipulate events in your day. It will push people that will offend you. It will create circumstances that will frustrate you. That is the day that maybe you will not get boss early. Then you get to office late. Then your boss will... You know, everything will just go wrong. And as those things are happening, they are putting pressure on you to live out. Now, why are they doing that? Ask me why. Evil spirits always want to mock you every day. Their intention is to let you know that you cannot live this Christ life. You cannot be spiritual. You cannot be in the spirit all the time. Don't waste your time. This is who you are. Tajudin. That is who you are. You know? It's just like that movie Matrix. Anytime he wants to be Neo, those agents will come and remind him. They don't call him Neo. They will call him his old name. Mr. Anderson. Why are they calling him that his old name? They are trying to tell him that you are not Neo Kakan. You understand? That you are flesh. And you always remain in the flesh. So even when you are striving to break through in the spirit, when evil spirit comes, they will remind you because actually they have been controlling your generations for a long time. So they know you very well. Most spirits that assault us daily are close to us. They are called familiar spirits. They are the ones that have studied you for a very long time. They manipulate your day. As against, and what they try to do is to perpetually lock you in the prison of the flesh. That's their work. So when they see you deploying higher wisdom, then they bring more warfare. To begin to make sure that you don't escape the prison of the old man. The old man is the prison of all flesh. What did I say it is? It's manifested in the world. The real world is first inside you. If you overcome the world inside you, you are free from the one without. Because it is a law that constitutes this world. And that law is what sustains the old life. I want you to get this. I hope you are following me very well. So we can now see that every day we must be conscious of obeying righteousness. What did I say? You are not hearing me, oh. That's one reason why you need to be feeding from a fountain of righteousness. Bible study, as good as it is, cannot break you from the flesh. You must hear faith. You must hear faith. So don't play with preaching of righteousness. For faith cometh by hearing by. You have to hear. Then he now says that, how can you hear except the preacher is sent? So that's the reason. They have to preach righteousness. They have to teach righteousness. Their hearts must hear and believe and walk in righteousness. So because what wired the flesh? The flesh is a product of twisted righteousness. What did I say? So what you call the flesh is an anti-program of righteousness. The flesh is a program of righteousness that was done by spirits in the air. They were the one that weaved it. It's a program, and they installed it in the soul. I call it a twisted wisdom. The flesh is a twisted wisdom. The flesh is a program of fallen, twisted wisdom designed to keep a man in perpetual bondage. So what breaks attachment or power of the flesh is obeying another power. Laws are powers. What did I say? You are not saying that with me? So, for you to break the power of the flesh, which is the law of sin and death, you need a counter power. It's called the power of righteousness. From faith to faith. So the power of righteousness obeyed is how you now begin to counter the power that holds the old man. So that's why the old man in us, he stays in us by covenant. You cut covenant by laws. Anytime you see law, there's covenant involved. So when you say the law of sin and death, it means there's a covenant that holds the old man. Oh, you didn't hear that. Let me repeat that again. Can we say law of sin and death? Say that. Say it again. So law of sin and death enacts the covenant to make the old man your life. So a old man, the old man is a life we are holding. Because the purpose of a covenant is to make you hold a life. What did I say? You are not here. I'm not hearing you. A covenant makes you hold a life. And you can't have a covenant without a law. So laws generate covenants. Covenants makes you undo life. Promises as life. So any life that you are using is a covenant that made it use it. You see, if I begin to use a life as my life, I'm not borrowing it. It means I've agreed. I've bought into it. It is now my own. So it means I have done a covenant. It's a covenant that sustains the obedience of a life. So all of us use the old man as our life. Even though we are born again, we are tongue talking. We know how to go and fetch life wisdom from the old life. What generates what you call works of the flesh is a wisdom called flesh. Works are what you see. There's something called flesh. It's the original program. So inside that is a wisdom that sustains us. So even when we got born again, we were not quickly delivered from that wisdom. It takes a season of obedience to free the soul from the wisdom of the old man. Even if God tried to shut it down, we will fight God. Because we are used to it. We are used from living from our senses. We are used to live from the wisdom of the old man. It's called darkened understanding. So it's a gradual transition. They take you out of old life gradually by walking in righteousness, by hearing Christ. When you keep hearing Christ, not just hear Christ, you are hearing Christ, and Christ is now animating what you need to be obeying every day. Because the instruction of the Spirit must be real. You have to, that's when you are praying. What are you praying for? Praying that the Holy Ghost will drop an instruction in your spirit that you will obey. That is your own righteousness. So there is righteousness of Christ that must now be simplified as a righteousness of Christ to you. Customized righteousness. So as I'm preaching now, I'm preaching righteousness. But the Holy Ghost will now customize that righteousness. That is why you pray. When you are praying, you are praying for the Holy Spirit to make this preaching of righteousness meet you at a specific season where you can now obey it and journey out of darkness. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So So, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of what? Death. So that's the old man. The old man is a body of death. I thank God through what? Jesus Christ our Lord. Can we say amen?
Amen.
So then with the mind I serve the law of God, and with the flesh the law of sin. So look at it. Let me just move ahead. So there is therefore now no what? Condemnation to them which are what? In Christ Jesus. That's not the end. Who want? Walk. So there is a demand for you to walk when you are in Christ. So when you get born again, it's for you to walk. And now it's not the spirit that walks, it's the soul that walks. It's not even the body that walks. The body walks physically. It's the soul that walks. So now they're instructing the soul to walk. Now they're instructing the soul to be justified by faith. Now the spirit is justified by faith. So legally, your spirit is saved. And there's a legal framework to that. But now the soul must also experience the life that is in the spirit. So they now say, now that soul must begin to walk. Now, somebody that is not given to pleasing God does not see this as important. There are many things that are more important to many people. You cannot serve God and please God in the flesh. So no matter what you do. Now I'm going to read them because I want to put the love for obedience to laws of Christ in your soul. Eh? You cannot serve God well if you're in the flesh. No matter what you do. Now that does not mean God hates you. God appreciates you. You are God's children. But you cannot please God. God is a spirit. So it means to begin pleasing God now. The purpose of Christ teaching, Christ learning, is to begin to teach your soul to begin to generate pleasure to God. So there is therefore now no condemnation. Amen. Can we say amen?
Amen.
I need your attention. Can we say amen?
Amen.
We're in Christ Jesus. We walk not after the flesh. Everybody say, we walk not after the flesh. So you can be in Christ Jesus and still walk after the flesh. Meaning you are born again, your spirit is raised from the dead, but you are still walking after the law of sin and death. You are not free from that law. Huh? But after the spirit. So what does it mean to walk after the spirit? Verse 2. For the law of the spirit, what?
Life.
Of life. Everybody say the law.
The law.
Say it again.
The law.
Of the spirit of life. So it's a spiritual law that generates life. And it's in Christ. So what is responsible for life is a spiritual law. What is responsible for death is a carnal law. So death is by the product of a law. So why do I have death in me? It's because of a law. How can I have life in my soul? It's because of a law. It's law counteracting law. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus, that law is what Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4. He says, as the fruit is in what? Jesus. Eh? Take me there. For if so, verse 20, for you have not so learned Christ, but you have not so learned Christ. So learning Christ is learning his law. What did I say? Say that one more time. Learning his law is also learning his truth. If so, that you have heard him and have been what? Taught by him as the truth is in what? Yes, we are making progress. As the truth is in what? So what Jesus embodies is truth. And that truth is his law. And that law is righteousness. That law is a law of righteousness. So it is when I obey righteousness, which is the law, that I enter life. Life is tied to the law of righteousness that is in Christ. So it's easy to come into life. What did I say? Just walk in righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Walk in righteousness. Walk in the revelation of righteousness that has been revealed to you. You know what happens to many of us? We must hear till we can be taught. We have not heard enough. Yes. My wife was trying to ask me a question. I was responsible for decision. I was trying to, for somebody choosing and some other person not choosing, choosing what is right. And I said that God gave all of us the same will to choose. The free will to choose has been given to all men. God is not unjust. So you can either choose God or reject God. The willpower to do so. But only what God will do is that God will keep bringing light to encourage you to walk. God will always come to you. So what is the, so if both of you started your journey the same day and you respond faster, it is not because of anything. It's because you choose to do so. And you did not choose to do so. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. So the same word can be taught to two people. One will choose it, the other will not. So I say, so why did the other not choose it? It's because they choose not to choose it. Believe me. It's still a choice not to agree with God. They still choose not to. So at times, God can even come with light and you may not change. Not because what to change you is not available. If what will change you is available, you still must accept it to change you. So that's why he said, ever say walk. Can you force somebody to walk? It's a commandment, but you have to obey it. You cannot, they can't force you to walk. Walking is a choice. You have to choose to walk in what you are hearing. You may choose not to walk in what you are hearing. I'm saying this so that everybody will know that how you become is your decision. How you are currently and what you will be next year, 2 years' time, 5 years' time, is because of you. Nobody can blame the Lord. I said, the Lord, this is what you did, though. That's why I'm at this state. You can't blame the Lord. Actually, we are actually product of our choices. Particularly when they bring us into the faith. Because when you get born again, it's a leveler. The Lord will grant you understanding.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So for the law of the spirit of what? Of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Alright? So I said that. So what makes you free is the law. Ever say free. Another word for freedom is liberty. So I am born again, but I'm not yet liberated. The real liberation mandate is beyond freeing people from demonic oppression. It is to save people from what? Satanic oppression by nature. I found out that for every vision that God gave our fathers, there's a Christ dimension to it. So it just needs one of the sons of Papa to move liberation mandate to the next phase. Liberation mandate, that's what you see. That liberation mandate is actually gospel. So Papa heard God clearly. It's just that they gave him liberation mandate at milk level. If you have heard liberation mandate, some of us, you know, when you hear Papa, I saw you in that vision. It's liberation mandate. But it's the beginning of the liberation mandate. It's to free people from demonic oppression. By faith. You know, it's also the word of faith.
Yeah.
All of the preaching of the gospel is faith. It's faith. I don't know that. I've forgotten that how Papa calls it. But I know. Yeah. So you can see, there's connection between faith and dominion. So what am I? You can look for it and project it. It's online. So dominion mandate is tied to faith. That's why Papa preaches faith. It means you can't come into dominion without faith. I don't know if people are following me. I'm just showing you that it's a very original commissioning. It's New Testament. Winners, New Testament. It's just that it's New Testament at the level of what? Milk. You can't come into dominion mandate. You can't come into dominion life without teaching faith. So, to really have dominion is to have nature that is new in your soul. That's how you can have dominion over the old man. That's what Paul is teaching us in Romans chapter 8. Hallelujah. So, nature is the key to dominion. Or image is the key to dominion. I don't know if you are following me. What did I say? Bishop Oyedepo's dominion mandate refers to the belief he received the divine mandate through a vision to liberate the world from the devil's oppression by preaching the word of faith. All right? So, I like the word of faith. You cannot liberate men from Satan's oppression without faith.
Yes, sir.
So it's word of faith. So Christ is word of faith at another level.
Yes, sir.
Oh.
Yes, sir.
Nobody, what did I say? When you are preaching Christ, sir. Word of faith, whom we preach. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God. So, meaning that it is the faith of Christ that crucifies the old man. And crucifying the old man is how you have dominion. So dominion mandate is tied to doctrine. God, I never saw this before. So you see, we are continuing from where those fathers stopped. It's the same commissioning, just at another level. It's the same commissioning. You know, a lot of powers are deployed internally to crucify the old man. So much powers are not deployed when we are teaching milk. The powers of milk are more of miracles and signs. They are more of outward. They are more of outward. It's just to convince the heart. It's to convince the heart to follow God. May God give you understanding. So all those signs and wonders is just to convince the heart that God is real. If you were chosen, when Jesus was doing those miracles, in fact, he did most of those miracles for his disciples so that they will believe. If you check, and they did it, he did it for, in fact, the painted the one for Lazarus, he did it deliberately. He didn't do it for the world. He did it for them. So that they would believe. So, take me back to verse 2 of Romans chapter 8. Alright? So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free. Can we all say that? Let's say that again, no? From the law of what? Sin and death. Alright? For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, that's the law of Moses. God sending his own son in what? In the likeness of sinful flesh. And for sin. His name is Jesus. And he shall save his people from what? Their sin. And what did he do? Condemn sin where? In the flesh. So Jesus judged sin as a man. Oh, you need to hear that. What did Jesus do? Jesus condemned sin as a man. That's the only way you can overcome sin too.
as a man.
Yes, sir.
As a man that acquired the laws of God. So when you obey, what they are saying, if a man obeys God's law, he will obey, he will subdue the law of sin. If a man obeys the laws of God, embodies the laws of God, like Jesus, he will also he will judge sin in the flesh. So it's not just Jesus that will condemn sin in the flesh. You also are called to do what? Nobody's talking to you. You are supposed to do what?
Condemn sin in the flesh.
I say you are supposed to do what?
Condemn sin in the flesh.
So in this body, you will condemn the activity of sin and death.
Amen.
In this flesh. By embodying the laws that are in Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 4. That the righteousness of the law might be what? So it means that the law had righteous requirements, which was supposed to be fulfilled in Christ. Right? That's why Jesus said in Matthew 4, he said, I've not come to destroy the law. But to what? Fulfill it. To fulfill it. Can we say amen?
Amen?
That the righteousness of the law might be what? Fulfilled in us. Who walk not what? So when you walk after the flesh, you can't fulfill the righteousness of the law. But what? After the Spirit. After the Spirit. After the Spirit. So after the Spirit is that I am obeying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can we all say amen?
Amen.
Now let's look at verse 5. Before I explain what it means to obey the law, what is the content of that law? And what does it mean to obey the law? Let's look at verse 5. For they that are after the flesh do mind. All they that live after the flesh put their attention on things of the flesh. These are not unbelievers. These are Christians. They that are after the flesh, or they that still walk in the flesh, do mind things of the flesh. They pay attention to things of the flesh. Their attention is on the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, by obeying the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, what do? They pay attention of the on what? Things of the Spirit. Can we say things of the Spirit? These are substances of life in Christ. So when you're obeying the law of the Spirit, the law of the Spirit brings spiritual things to you. It brings it to your domain. When you walk in the flesh fleshes you with things of his own domain. So for to be carnally minded is death. So a Christian can be carnally minded or fleshly minded. And as long as you are fleshly minded, you still carry death in your soul. Even though your spirit is quickened, but your soul still has laws of death ruling it. For to be carnally minded is what? Nobody's saying anything.
Yes.
Meaning you are minding what the carnal mind minds. Or you are minding what the flesh minds. So when you mind what the flesh minds, you will still be in the regions of death. Meaning you have not journeyed away. You have not passed from death. Your soul has not passed from the land of death into life. And so when you are like that, you'll still be manipulated by evil spirits. There are remote control. At times, you see, I come normally say, it's not what I go through in a daily basis that matters. It's my reaction. So now your reaction is what they manipulate. Something happens. Somebody was, you are walking and a car splashes water on you. That's an action. Now, your reaction is what determines who is controlling you. You just bought something and somebody spoiled it. Something new. Because you need to understand these things very well. The issue is not that the person spoiled it. In fact, evil spirit normally does that. Evil spirit knows that we are weak. So it can move somebody to spoil your thing.
You just bought laptop. You have not used it for 1 week. You now borrowed. You now borrowed Bra Bright. You brought Bra Bright. You use it to do. What do they call it? His work. And as he was trying to do it, so Bra Bright now put the laptop on his table, and he was taking tea. And all of a sudden, you know, he quickly said he should go to the toilet. Then God word went there. I'm just explaining. God was saying, so the tea inside the cup spilled on the keyboard. Then Bra Bright came out and said, yay, Mogbe. I'm just showing you. So I can tell you. Now, actually, of course, he I would say was careless. But he never thought it could happen. He could never think that within that 1 minute or 2 minutes that God would just walk there and push the teacup. And even if he pushed the teacup, he never thought that, no, it will, you know? And that's why when one of the things that will happen to you is that when they start teaching you spiritual life, you become more sensitive. You don't disregard what comes out in your conscience. At times, you may want to go and there's a nudge. Take away the cup. Close the laptop. Yes. Holy Spirit is preventing a danger. Yes. That can happen in the next 2 minutes. But you know, when you are not sensitive, one of the things I was reading again, because I'm reading again currently. I was reading again this morning. And again said that one of the reasons why it's not good to... One of the reasons why it's not good to disobey the voice of the Spirit or the inward witness, that it gradually sears your conscience. So a time will come you not know when God is speaking or when it is you. Because you are not sharp anymore. Anytime they tell you things, you don't do it. So for me, if I am going out and I pick something in my spirit to go and close the door, I go back. Even if the door is closed. The issue is not about the door open or close. It's about learning to follow that inner witness. At times, they do it like that just to train you. It's just like, you know, they call it in military, if you're a military person, they call some things practice, shooting practice, or drill, military drills. Holy Ghost also gives us drill. For instance, the day that one chance people, we enter the bus. It's not the day they will teach you that when you want to enter a bus, you are listening. And you say, no, don't enter this bus. And you allow the bus to go. And you'll be wondering that, why now? Why did I not allow the bus? It's not about why now. Eh? They are trying to teach you to trust more of leading than sense. No, nobody's asking me anything. Yes, so you have done that. So the day that the thing will not really, really happen. When there is now one chance person in that bus and they want to take you to soccer. You know those bus you enter, you see three people at the back. All of them doing like this. But because you have learned and you have trained your spirit to be alert, and you just have a check. You want to try again, you have a check. You know, no, I know they go. Because you have done many drills. But some people, they live from here. You'll be losing things. That's how you put your money in CBEX. It's part of it, yes, now. You should be feeling some of those things. You say, no, they deceived me. No, they should not deceive you. Now, believe me, do you know that your spirit was not deceived? Because if you don't believe this thing, you'll still be deceived again. Do you believe that when you put your money in that CBEX and graduate, do you know that your spirit was not deceived? Oh God. People don't believe me. That your spirit was not deceived. Your spirit knew that it was wrong. But you, it's because your spirit, before it passes information to you, koto de sense, oh my akpesa. The rate of transmission is slow. Meaning your body has already entered.
emotions, your mind.
When I went to put my money in treasure line in 2007, I treasure line, that's what they called it. Treasure line. They line your treasure, sir. One large treasure, yes, sir. I remember I did my research. You see, when I was doing my research, I was not following the spirit. I depended on my research. It was a lesson in the school of the spirit. I depended more on my research than my spiritual sense, than my inner witness. I was judging by, they are quoted on SEC. These are the board members on it, so they are safe. I was not asking from here. I was researching from here. So, but this one does not lie. So while I was doing my research, this one was just looking at me. And because I have made up my mind that I want to make it, so I chanced the inward man. What did I say I did? Sir, we can chance the inward man. Yes, keep quiet. Yeah, this man. You know they like good things. Keep quiet. This is my time to shine. So he was with this. He's a gentleman. So that day when I now arrange the money, I go invest. That's why I carry. When I remember I went to a Akran, UBA bank. I won't forget. So all that time, Holy Ghost was sending signals to me I was not hearing. Because it was after I lost the money, I had to now sit down that what happened. Kilo really shele. I now discovered that the Lord was trying to get my attention. But because I had planned my way and I did not involve him. God, I don't need your way here. Ori mi pe mo mo kan ti mo se. That the old man is that rash.
Yes.
So, when I now put the money inside the bank, at the moment that I put the money, I did like this, and they took the money because it was cash. My spirit sank. Blah. I said, "Hey!" I knew then that my money is gone. I knew, but you know, still I was believing. I hope against hope. Like Abraham. Maybe God will show me mercy. I was believing God for mercy. Well, I know I've sinned. I was not believing God for mercy. And God said, no, for you, no mercy. You will lose this money, and this money is not coming out. So your spirit cannot be deceived. Amen. So when you grow in systematics of spiritual life, there are things that you will pick. When there are dangers coming, the Lord will train you, you will know. Except maybe the Lord wants to take you through that means, just to glorify himself. But outside that, the Lord will alert you. You will have a check, you will know. You will feel uncomfortable somewhere. I don't know if you are hearing what I'm saying.
Yes,
we need to understand this thing very, very well. I don't know. God will help us. I'm thinking that a time will come we should separate meetings and deal with some of this issue of Holy Ghost well. We need to deal with many in this generation. We don't know Holy Ghost life. We don't know Holy Ghost life. We live, many of us live from here. Agbareti poju sir. Too much here. You don't live from here. So you are not used to ghosted life. And we have to pay attention to that. You have to pay attention to that. Because when you don't understand ghosts, you can't understand Christ. So even when you are not guided spectacularly, you are guided by insight. You just have a check. You don't know what it is, but you have a check. And because of that, you are restrained from the inside. You are restrained. That's why it's good for you to be, you have developed your spiritual senses. If your mind is more smarter than the spirit, you will enter into bondage. So because the carnal mind, so to be carnally minded is dead. But to be spiritually minded, look at that. Spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. I like the word spiritually minded. It means to mind the law of Christ. When you mind the law of the spirit of life in Christ, what it generates is these two things. Life and peace. These are the blessings of Christ. What did I call life and peace? Amen. Don't feel bad that you make mistake. I also did. Just learn from it. And at times, when you make losses, the Lord allows it. So that you don't make another terrible loss. You see, all those things that I was losing, God was training me to pastor soul. They were all training for pastoring. In pastoring, if you are close to me, you know I'm very, very slow. Even in making decisions. Even as a pastor, when I'm counseling, I don't make decision over people in a rush. Like I believe it's the right thing. Because I've made mistakes before. I take time. When things are easy, I say, let's wait. Let's pray. All those trainings are necessary. It's good to make losses of life, of money that make loss of life. Yes, sir. Loss of soul. That one you cannot recover. You make a bad decision concerning somebody. The person may not recover in 10 years. So pastoring is more harder. So I know that God was making, God make sure I did not get any money out from all my investments. Because after that one, I went to do another one. Yes, now I did. This one, because it was brethren that brought it. He said, he will give me my money back. If the thing does not yield. He said, this one is different from the other ones. So now that there are CBEX, there's another one, I'm sure you know. The other ones are around now. They exist in parallels. So as this one has crashed, some other ones will emerge. And they will tell you that they are not like CBEX. I don't know why I'm teaching it. Maybe somebody's already doing that other one. Some people don't listen. They say, I know this one is not like this. So I did that one. It was even me and mommy, you know, that were involved. I remember that time I was in Ibadan. I came from Lagos. Or maybe I'd relocated to Ibadan. Then I'm not sure. And we needed money. We were preparing for a wedding. So the guy convinced us. So we went to ransack. Most of the money was mommy's money. 55,000. That was 2007. He said he would give us like 200 and something thousand. I said, sure. I was afraid that time. This one, I was not led. I was not hearing anything. I just had faith in my brother. I said, sure. Sure, brother. Only air. I said, no worry. I will give you your money back. I said, this one is different. In fact, what's the name? The name is called Divine Solution. Divine Solution. I tell you. Divine Solution. even the name itself. Divine Solution. Oh, Gaza. Divine Life. That's what I put money for Divine Solution. Huh? The solution is not comfort. The solution is not comfort, sir. It was very funny. Then I now did another one again. Months after, yes. About 4 months after. This one is called positive movement. I did it. But that one, I didn't put so much money. 25,000 naira. Me and my friend. So, okay, I put 20,000. My friend put 25,000. It's my friend in the US. So, both of us now put 45 to get 450. Ever say positive movement? Sir, nothing positive. I lost money to that positive moment. And I went back to the Lord, broken. I was finished, broken and down. But the Lord now told me, says, see, you will live by faith. Then you will learn to live by faith. He says, everything you will get will be by faith. So you will marry by faith, everything by faith. And the Lord fulfilled his word. Amen. It's good I say some things because I know some of us, our soul is like my soul. All right? You know, somewhere I'm smart. I'm not, you see, when God led me, I became foolish somewhere. I became foolish to my natural confidence. I used to be smart in some ways. I knew how to do some things myself. And God did not like that. I believe God knew that I would not be able to give life. If I was like that. So God burnt that bridge completely. God burnt that bridge completely. I learned to trust the Lord. So even if you are going to live on all this business investment, you will be led by the Spirit. Some of you in business, you do business by the Spirit. By spiritual energizing life. As you're in the midst of doctrine, they'll just open your mind. You are in church, oh, Holy Ghost will open your mind when you are hearing understanding. Do this, do that, do that. For you, that should be different. All of you doing research, too, that's how Holy Ghost moves, open your mind. You cannot be doing things like a Gentile. You cannot be doing... You can't play with them on their field. All those guys that know all those millionaires' mind, you can't play with them. That's their word. You need to learn it by the Spirit. You need to learn how to do things on the earth. Your academics, your research, your business, your career. You need to bring Holy Ghost there. I'm telling you. These are the things that spiritual laws will teach us. That when we're now moving to Christ, there is Christ, application of Christ's life to handle the natural. You will know how to apply Christ to handling your day-to-day affairs. You will know how to. Actually, that's how they want us to. They want us to run every aspect of our life with Christ's life. Christ is not just a life to save the soul. It's a life to be lived on the earth. Everything you do, wisdom of Christ, is the one powering it. Wisdom of Christ. Energy of Christ. Strength of Christ. At times, just simple dependence of God before you do a project. Just waiting and asking God and waiting for some kind of strength. And then you will know when that thing comes. It will hit you like a wind. You know that they have brought strength. And then you can now respond. You will glide on the strength of what the Lord brought. You can't compete with those worlds. You can't compete with Babylon on their plane. Remember Daniel? God had to give those guys some things. they had to give them. You can't compete with the guys of this world. All those business people, this is their brain they are using. Sit down there. Who told you it's their brain? Spirit breathed on those guys. Things happen to them that they don't know. Some know, some don't know. But they are powered by some laws. I'm telling you. So you now want to compete with them. You want to read the way they read. You will gas out. You want to begin to follow business trends the way they follow. You will not have time for anything. You will not be able to do anything. You can't even come to meeting. Because you are busy, sir. But you can come to a place where you have some kind. You can understand things by the Spirit. I'm not getting your witness here. You have to believe God for this thing. That's why you are spiritual. You have to place your faith on some of these kind of things. You have to trust God for them. If you're in academics, you trust God for breakthrough. They will give you direction. They will give you COB. Is it AOB? Or AOC? You know where to focus on. All those them Billy Akonese, they say those are the things they used on campus. Well, all those things they are available. I don't know why I'm saying this. Is. They are available.
Again, you come again, Yosa, Erge again, Jigege Moga, Zineg, Agane, Zeg, Zania, in angel, Agayani in angel, heaven angel, in you, Zenike heart, head you, Emiasco Donika, Ashkabarga Deski, Falagat, follow you.
Amen. Okay, can we have that, please? Who's interpreting it for us?
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. It is expedient. It is an advantage. Holy Ghost is your advantage. It's an advantage. Holy Ghost is not just to lead you into salvation. Holy Ghost is to guide you to live on the earth. Holy Ghost is to help you. He's a helper. I'm bringing this word to you to begin to learn to look unto Him for help. Oh, I'm bringing this word to you to begin to learn to look unto Him for help and not to depend on your brain and not to depend on even what you are taught even in school and not to depend on the knowledge on the earth. Depend on the Spirit. Oh, depend on the Spirit. Depend on the Spirit for guidance. Stop guessing with your brain. Depend on the Spirit because your world is highly spiritualized.
Yes.
Your world is highly spiritualized. No one by guessing can ride over the wind. No one by guessing can ride over the tides. Follow the Spirit. Learn to follow the inward Spirit. Learn to follow the inward witness. Learn to follow the Spirit. Follow the Spirit. I perceive in my spirit there are opportunities in the Spirit, even now. Opportunities in the Spirit. Just key into the Spirit. Wait on me the more. Commune with me the more. Opportunities, even in resources. Opportunities in coming into resources. They are in the Spirit. I want to show you, but come closer. Come communing and depend on me. Depend on me. Wait on me. Wait on me. Wait on me. See the Lord.
Can we all say amen? Now, the Lord wants us to commune with the Holy Ghost and live by the life in the Holy Ghost. So you can see that Holy Ghost life is key. You see, Holy Ghost life is initiation into spiritual life. What did I say? You know, I just felt that we should, even in the after family life, we have to go back to Holy Ghost life. We need to teach Holy Ghost. We need to teach, or teaching Holy Ghost is teaching Christ, is to teach milk of Christ. We have to teach Holy Ghost. You can't go far with the Lord. You cannot go far with the Lord
when you see that communion with the Holy Ghost, it settles a lot of things. It settles a lot of things. It settles issues of direction. It settles issues of major life decisions. It settles, I mean, so much is hinged on it. And it's not sensual. It's not you, you know. It's not personal Holy Ghost. You know what? Personal Holy Ghost is the opposite of Holy Ghost. It means you lead yourself. This one, you can't come into communion with the Holy Ghost. You will be soaked in word. You will have died on the word. If you see somebody that is an Holy Ghost man, is a man of word. Basically, you will be a man of the word. You cannot enter into the spirit without the word. Oh my God. What did I say? I know that many of us are not word people. Even word. I'm not talking about spirit. Because the spirit is also the word. The spirit is what demonstrates the word as life. But I'm talking about word as precept. When you are not a man of the word, you can't enter into the spirit. Now you can have word and not have spirit. But you can't have spirit without word. You cannot learn the spirit without the word. You know, all those attitude of the spirit, culture of the spirit, way of the spirit, they are all fetched from the word. You'll have to have waited on word, studied word, wait on the word, lived by the word. I'm not just talking about quoting scripture. The Bible said in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 6, the Bible said in Ephesians, no. When we're studying word, we're not studying word to quote. We're studying word to live. When I started as a young Christian, one thing I was telling people in the house, I don't know, somebody was doing better, so I was not encouraging the person. I didn't start my Christian work as being gifted. I was not. Gift came later. The only thing I could do was to read Bible and follow instruction. I could follow instruction to the letter. And that's why I noticed that someone that does not follow instruction, if you don't listen, there's no way. I understand. I follow instruction. I don't play with instruction on my leaders. In fact, when I got to university, the person leading us was less than 4 years older than me. And I submitted to him holistically. Yes. Served him like I'll serve my pastor. My pastor that was about 15 years older than me. I served him. Followed him, went on errands for him, washed his clothes, ironed his clothes. Think about any kind of service. Anytime he tells me anything, I do it like he tells me. I remember that if you don't do things like he tells you, he will rebuke you. You will learn to obey instruction. That was the key into the spirit. When I was going to enter into revelation knowledge, it was as if I slept one night, I woke up in the morning, and the Bible started speaking to me. I knew that something had changed. So you see all those attitude of the spirit, their issue of submission, submitting to brethren, following instructions. Then I could teach Bible, but I used to do household course. I would go to market, all those things. I was learning all those training. Fetch water. Some of you have small word, you'll be sending people on errand. Fetch water. Wash plates. All those things are part of spiritual making. You will have letter, you don't have life. Because, like I said, you move from word into spirit. And when you are learning word, when you have word, they are checking you. They'll not start giving you a commandment of the spirit that will kill you. Things that will not be comfortable for you. It's because they want to initiate you into the world of the spirit. Where you can now start demonstrating the word. When you are in the spirit, what are you doing? You are demonstrating the word. So the word that you have read, that you have studied, you have not entered into the life. So when you enter into the spirit, you now start living those things. And sometimes what we don't know is that it's through some things that don't make sense to the natural mind that helps you to enter into the spirit. I didn't know. You know, all those times we go to church, all of us will go to church. But some people, they don't like stress. Maybe pastor needs some people to wait for extra 2 hours. Some people start grumbling. I'm telling you truth now. So they will go. But then I just found out that, sir, I could not go. They will just restrain, just wait. So we wait. Sometimes we wait till 5:36. Before pastor leaves, then we close. Then we'll now, I didn't know that all those things were school of the spirit. Waiting on the minister of the gospel. I didn't know they were school of the spirit. I did not know. Years after, I now know that these things were training. Some people, when they come around today, they say, we need 10 people to come for evangelism tomorrow. You'll be thinking everybody will come. Because you'll be wondering, but everybody heard when they said it. And then the day will be coming, you'll be thinking that we will be plenty. Then you now come excited, then you look around. Where is Brother Soji? Where is everybody? So, you can't come into spiritual life. Because spiritual life is Christ. Without Holy Ghost life, supernatural life. And supernatural life, they will first teach you word. They will teach you milk. After milk, they will now open you into the spirit of milk. You know all those spirit of milk, you know what they are? Humility, submission, following instruction, serving. Those are the culture. It's not reading Bible for money tonight. If you read Bible for money tonight, they will now look for a commandment for you. Let me say, go and wash all the ground in the house. They are not checking if you complain or not. I'm telling you. They will check your attitude. They are checking you if they want to give you authority in the spirit. Bring you into true spiritual life. I don't know if I'm talking to people. Because at times we don't know all this thing. Some of us, we are not wise with brethren life. We waste it. We waste brethren life. You don't know that brethren life is an opportunity to enter into spirit. You think that you enter spirit by singing spiritual song. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Hey, yeah, yeah. Bambala, bambala. It's not like that, sir. You see, there's spirit around brethren life. There will less brethren life with spirit. If you can obey the call for brethren life, there's a call. If you obey it, you will find out that spiritual life will enter your soul. An authority will rest on you. The Lord will grant you understanding. Because we have to teach ways of the Spirit. Serving. Waking up and serving. Waking up and doing household chores. They are training of the Spirit. They are not just natural. They are heavily laced with spiritual wisdom. To escape flesh. So you think that you escape flesh by hearing School of Christ praying. Shaya baya! Shaya baya baya baya! Go! Move! I move! I go! I move! I move! Move! Then in the morning, they are looking for people to fetch water. And you are sleeping. You see, household calls, there is spirit inside. I am telling you, if you don't know. You see, household calls, spirit. If you can survive household calls, I can guarantee you, you're already carrying spirit attitudes. Spirit attitude. You may not even preach on the pulpit, but you carry a lot of spirit attitude. You will learn how to deal with your flesh. You will learn how to put pressure on your flesh. You will learn. You will learn a lot of things. The Bible will now begin to come alive. You will not just know letter, you will know spirit. When somebody preaches, I can know how much entrance they have in spiritual work. When you have only knowledge, I know you have not entered school of the spirit. So, meanwhile, that your knowledge cannot change any life. What changes life is spirit. Spirit comes by training. Holy Ghost will train you by commandments, by leading you against yourself. So because I just know there's no way this spiritual life will become real if people don't know ghosted life, spirit life. And what I mean goes the attitudes of the spirit. Attitudes of the spirit. Attitude of the spirit. You have waited on the word and you have broken into spirit. Allow you to break into the spirit. The spirit will orchestrate things for you to come into the spirit. And they normally use the best school of the spirit is day-to-day affairs. Nothing prepares you for spiritual life more than day-to-day affairs. In fact, they train you more than staying in the still reading Bible for morning to night. I'm not condemning it. But if you do it, they're not training you. They say they want to bring you inside spirit. Jesus Christ, it was carpentry that raised him. Some of you that don't like work. Work is part of training. They use work to train you. I'm telling you. They use school to train you. They use natural things to train you. They use household course to train you. They use faithfulness in the home to train you for spiritual life. They send you on errand. They give you 5,000. You spend 4,500. You pocket the 500. You never give accounts. They can't commit some things to you. They are checking your attitude. How faithful are you? Accountability. They check all kinds of things. Somebody does not know that maybe they want to even give you the responsibility to hold wealth and they are testing you with 5K. So you can't account for 5K. They are looking at you that, because as the Lord said it, the Lord does not see any difference between 5K and 5 billion. You know, money does not mean anything to them. What they are using money to do is to bring you into the world of the spirits. So they can use 5K to train you for 5 billion. Oh, you didn't get what I said. So if you pass with 5K, they can commit more to you. So to them, money is nothing. But they can train you with spiritual attitudes. So when you are not faithful with 5K, they see that you can't be faithful with 5 billion. Everywhere is just silence. Accountability. Stewardship of resources. When money comes to your hand, what is the first thing you think of? Oh, those are issues, you know. All those things are not separate from training of the Holy Ghost. When they begin to train, they begin to trim everything around you. They trim everything around you. They check everything. They check you. It's your money, but they check you how you spend it. They give you instruction how you spend it. You are spending it this way. This one is for this one. This one is for that one. This one is for this one. This one is for that one. There's nothing as spiritual than what I'm describing. Spiritual life is not singing. It's not praying fire prayer and shouting and you don't have voice. It's that God can enter your day-to-day affairs and guide you through seemingly mundane things. I can't hear you say amen. All right, let me just look for one more scripture and close it. So Romans 6:8. For to be carnally minded is death, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Let's see Colossians 3. No. Galatians 5. There's so much to still say, but I have to round up. I believe you will be blessed. Look at Galatians 5 from verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty. Where with what? Christ has made us free. And be not what? With the yoke of bondage. I like the word stand fast. Can we say stand fast?
Stand fast.
Say it again. Oh.
Stand fast.
Stand fast. Therefore, in the liberty. So, what makes you stand? When you say you are standing, it means you have come into some measure of establishment in the liberty of Christ. So the liberty of Christ is the dominion of peace. Romans 5. What did I say the liberty of Christ is? When you say somebody has liberty, it means somebody has peace with God. So therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So this is not legal peace. Legal peace, you had it at new birth. But they are now saying that when the soul obeys faith, the soul comes into inheritance of peace. Because the kingdom of God is in calibrations of righteousness, peace, and what? Joy in the Holy Ghost. So the soul will obey faith and enter peace. So liberty is peace. What did I say liberty is? It's the kingdom of peace. It's Christ. Remember, to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Those two things are liberty. So when they say somebody has liberty, he has what? Life and peace. Can we say life and peace,
life
equals liberty? Say that again. Say that one more time. Now take me back to Romans 5. Romans 5. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. By whom we have what? Access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. So, they are saying that the way we have access to that peace is by faith. Can we say by faith?
By faith.
So, this applies at new birth level. But much more, it applies by faith of Christ level. So when you walk by faith, you will access this grace. Everybody say this grace.
This grace.
So that grace is peace is a grace allocation. You know, peace is also grace. Life is grace. Peace is grace. Joy is abundant grace. So, they are saying that you access grace of Christ, which is peace, by obedience to faith. When you walk by faith, you access this grace, wherein we stand. So, the grace of Christ here is a liberty. When you access that grace, you are free. Where we stand and what? We rejoice in hope of the glory of God. So that's the purpose of peace of Christ. It is for what? Sighting the hope of God. The hope of the glory of God. You can sight. When in, we rejoice in hope. You can now hope for the glory of God. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Peace in you, the hope of glory. Handling peace of Christ, the hope of glory. Flesh cannot hope for glory. So when you got born again, you cannot be hoping for glory. That's why many children of God, they are not hoping for glory of God. What are they hoping? America is more glorious to many Christians. Yes. They are saying eternal life. What's going on? Changing location is more glorious to them. It's because they are carnal. So the hope of a carnal man cannot be the glory of God. Cannot be inheriting God's image. He does not see it. It's not sensible. He sees some other things that are important. Christian activity is more important to him than hoping for the glory of God. It's far from him. So that's the purpose of justification by faith. It's to break the influence of the old man on the soul. Because what makes it difficult for you to sight glory of God is flesh. Flesh cannot behold glory. So they have to remove flesh so that the new man and clothe you with the new man called Christ. So that you can now start. The glory of God now becomes your ambition. It becomes your new vision. attaining the glory of God becomes your new drive on the earth. You wake up every day because of one thing. You want to become glorified. I can't hear you say amen.
Amen.
So I'm rejoicing in the hope of the glory of God. Let me just read down to verse, few verses and I'll end. And not only so, but we glory in our tribulation. So now, so he's saying we are glorying not only in the hope of the glory of God, but we are glorying also in our present tribulation. So you can see, it's only a spiritual man that can glory in tribulation. Carnal man complains when there is tribulation. He will complain, God, why am I going through this? I don't know where I'm going. Is he only me? You keep, anytime you are complaining, it's because you are not seeing. Complaining is a product of what? Short-sightedness. The eyes is not seeing. You don't understand that your tribulations are designed to work out what? Not so. We glory in tribulations. We glory in tribulations. How can you glory in tribulation? Because too many tribulations, we do what? We enter into life. That kingdom is life. So without tribulation, there's no life. Nobody's saying amen to that. Tribulation is the pathway to lay hold on life. So, and not only so, we glory in tribulations also. Knowing that tribulation worketh what? You are not answering me. Some people are not answering me again. What does tribulation worketh? So you need patience to undo promises. And men who through faith and patience what? Inherited promise. So they are telling you that you need patience than you need more than you need results. Let me say that again. Let it sink in. What did I say you need? Say it like until it enters your soul. Say it again. Say it one more time. So for God, working out nature of patience in your soul is more important than giving you something. So giving you something is not the issue. It's what you get before you get that thing. So tribulation worketh patience. So without tribulation, they can't walk. So it is in the atmosphere of tribulation they do work of patience in the soul. Because naturally, we are always hasty. All of us are hasty. Man is always hasty. We want to run our plan in our own time. So they say, okay, for you to come into our own life, you will do it on our terms. And so we work out a climate of tribulation. Then because of that, we want to work patience. And it says, and patience, what? Experience. The word experience is character. So no person can have character if there's no patience. You know now, akara cake? How does akara? You know akara is initially semi-solid. But how does it become bean cake? They fry, everybody say fry. They will fry things in you, sir. What did I say they would do? Or how does cake bake? I like what you bake cake. So they have to bake things so that you'll be done. You'll be done like Bolly. They will roast you, sir. Have you eaten Bolly that is not done? Bolo Sherry. So God wants to feast on us. He wants to take things from us. He wants to feed on things from your soul and be satisfied. So you must be done. You know, I remember those days, if I want to go and buy, I used to like roasted corn. So I have this customer, I used to go and meet them and one madam. My customer, you don't come. I said, I don't come. Say you don't get for me. Say yes. My son, he never done. Say you go wait. Oh, okay, I go wait. So when I say again, Mama, she know, my son, you do like this. The thing never done. So you never done. Many of us, we never done. So they will still put you back inside fire. It's just like when you are baking cake and you bring it out, you beat it inside. The thing is still soft. They put you back.
Imagine when they take you out to test you. Maybe you're okay. You are shouting, hallelujah. Hallelujah. They say, ah, ma le koko. Ma le lu koko. They take you back. Then I increase the heat. They increase the heat. Because they want you to what? Done. So you need to understand. So without patience, you can't have experience. Experience is character. Character. So to God, character is more important than to you, to him in your life, than showcasing you. Some of you that used to see yourself as a minister, it's like Pastor Dimeji has reduced you. So when you go, they say, which church are you? Say, that church. You never shine for that place. So, well, I see the usher. You usher. You be prophet now. Say, guy, they kill your glory. So then I say, okay, you now went to your youth church. Then I gave you bike. Sir, you scatter ground. You say, hey! That city gate church, I just walk on board our minister. I say, I should summon you. Don't be me preach now. Then after you fail, you just hear the voice, apostle to the nations. Apostle to the nations. You know, I've noticed in Bible, have you noticed that everybody God wants to send, eh? When God is ready, they are not ready. Go and check. Study your Bible very well. Go and study your Bible. Anybody God sends, one proof that they are ready is that they are not ready. Anybody that say I'm ready. Anybody that says I am ready, Lord. Moses thought he was ready. By the time God said he was ready for him, Moses said, I'm not ready. So one sign that you are qualified for a season of God's grace is that you feel that you are not qualified. When you think you are qualified, you are not done. When you think that you are qualified, you are not done. So maybe in a unit, you're always assistant. And you think that you have the potential to lead. You are not done. You are not done, sir. God only exalts those that are weak. Anytime you think that you are qualified for something, you are not. It's a broken man that can qualify for the assignments of God. So you can see, to God, character is more important. Eh? So experience. Then after experience, hope. They bring the soul into hope domain. Eh? And hope maketh not ashamed. Because the love of God is what? In our hearts by what? Which is what? So they are showing you the technology of Christ. Now when you come to hope, when a soul stays in hope, the soul gets purified. Then they can now shed love on that soul. So they give love to a hope soul. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. What did I say they give? So that has become purged. Pure heart, then they give it love. Amen. Hallelujah. So God, they want us to stand fast in liberty. Hold ground in the liberty of Christ. They want us to be established as souls that are free. They want you to be free from the bondage of the flesh. They want us to be free from the bondage of this world. So the wisdom for freedom is in Christ. Christ is the only one that can make you escape the prison of the old man. The old man is a prison, sir. But the wisdom for escape is in Christ. The wisdom for escaping the old life, the flesh. So a time will come when you'll be free of the flesh. That's your amen. It's like you don't know how powerful the prayer. I said a time will come when you will be free from the flesh.
Amen.
Meaning you will live continually, perpetually in the spirit.
Amen.
Now, what does it mean to live in the spirit? It means you are clothed with a new man. It means it's your clothes. It is yours. Christ becomes your life. Christ becomes your taste. Christ becomes your appetite. Christ becomes your thought. Christ becomes your reaction. Anything you do, Christ comes out. Now they say, now you are standing in liberty. That's a liberty. Now that's the first stage. The last stage is that they want to make you perfectly liberated. They now bring you to perfect liberty. So the law of Christ brings you to liberty. The law of God brings you to perfect liberty. Let us begin to talk to God. Let us begin to talk to God. Can we thank the Lord tonight? Let's thank Him. All right. Thank Him. 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 Thank the Lord for understanding. And ask the Lord to grant you personal breakthrough into the world of Christ. Oh, come on, talk to the Lord. 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 Ask the Lord to strengthen you. That the Lord will open your understanding. Can you pray? Some of you are not praying. Pray that the Lord will give you understanding. Pray that the Lord will instruct your soul to yield to the laws of righteousness in Christ. Pray that the Lord will guide you into the world of the spiritual man. That man called Christ. That man called Christ. That Christ will be my life. Christ will be my life, my word, my thoughts, my reality. Come on, pray for yourself. Say, Lord, I receive grace to walk out from the whole life completely. I receive grace to be energized, to walk daily in the Spirit. To walk daily in the Spirit. To crucify my flesh and its affections. Every day is a day for me to crucify my flesh and the affections. I receive strength every day to walk against my flesh and its affections. I receive strength every day to walk against my flesh and its affections. Come on, receive grace. Come on, pray, pray, pray. That the Lord will strengthen me every day. I grow in grace. I walk by faith. I walk in righteousness. I walk in truth. Marogo de menebo kajama. Orome kadi savara. Arako de meniatana. I embrace the life in the faith of the Son as my only deliverance from the flesh. I receive grace to live by the faith of the Son every day. To walk by the faith of the Son every day. To submit to the program of faith that is in Christ until I begin to yield fruits of love. Come on, pray. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Receive grace. Oh, garama ne kedeme ne kudabana. Rapokoshte vele bapa. Ragelebreni ave golevere ne severe ne tana. I journey out from the works of the flesh. I journey away from the works of the flesh. I walk in the Spirit. I do not walk in the flesh. I refuse to walk in the flesh every day. I walk in the Spirit. I grow in the Spirit. I put off the old man and his affections. I will not be controlled by the works of the flesh. I'll not be controlled by the instincts of the old man. I receive grace to grow in Christ, to flourish in Christ, to be magnified in the nature of the new man called Christ. Rebekonembrenia sasemeni alababa.
I embrace the way of Christ. I embrace flourishing in Christ. I disconnect myself. I disengage myself from the legacy of the old man, from the traditions of the old man, from the forces of the old man, from the strength of the old man. I press into Christ. I press into Christ. I embrace Christ. For when Christ, who is your life, shall appear, so Christ is my life. Christ is my life. Christ is my life. I receive grace to obey the laws of Christ every day. Come on, begin to thank the Lord. Let us begin. Lift up your hands and thank the Lord. Come on, thank Him, thank Him. Allow the dew of heaven to rest on your spirit. Deliverance is going on right now. The Lord is setting you free. The Lord is setting you free. The Lord is setting us free. We will not remain the same again. The Lord is raising a spiritual company that will become a divine company. And all of us will lay hold on life.
We hope you have been blessed through these words of life. You can get more messages on our website, www.thecitygatechurch.org. Stay blessed.